Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can thank me for my discretion later. This is Wretched. Well, sort of you can, because I'm going to practice some discretion, because I'm not going to play Cats. That's right. I'm not going to play Cats. It's the only memory song that I could find besides Elvis singing Memories. It's the Barbara Streisand thing. Could have played that for the bumper music. But I practice discretion, and you are blessed because of it. But I'm not going to practice discretion when it comes to sharing what this little pamphlet written by Mike Gendron talks about, because it is good to remember, especially when we're still in Reformation season. You say, Friel, we're not. We're past Reformation. I know. Now we're suddenly in Christmas. I mean, it's all the Christmas commercials. I saw a billboard. It was in Oklahoma. I don't know if I mentioned that. Was in Oklahoma, and the billboard said Black Friday starts now. That was October we were in. It's like, wow, Christmas is such a boondoggle. It is such a season of sales, isn't it? It has become so commercialized. And I wonder how long it can last. Don't people stop and go, mommy, daddy, Christmas, what is it? Well, it's when family gets together. And if they simply asked one follow-up question, why, the parents would have to go, well, they'd either have to tell the truth that it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, or they would have to say, well, I don't know. I guess there's no reason, really. Wouldn't some generation come along and say, then what's the point? I know why we set off fireworks on the 4th of July. Because John Adams wanted fireworks on the 4th of July for the commemoration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the birth of our country. That's the substance. The celebration comes out of that, with Christmas just being commercialism, if you will, buying presents. That has to come out of something. Otherwise, why keep doing it? It would be like me creating a holiday March, in March. There's no good, I don't think there's any big holidays in March. Is there?
I don't think so.
St. Patrick's Day, but I don't think that's a federal holiday. So all right, I create a holiday and try to persuade everybody to spend billions of dollars on presents. No, why? Exactly. How long can Christmas without Christ keep going? But I digress. Mike Gendron, writing a booklet that I discovered in my old Bible. It's like an old friend that I'm looking at. Oh, look at this. Four views of the end times: historical premillennialism, amillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, go team, postmillennialism. It's by Rose Publishing. Super helpful. If you've ever wanted a really pithy sort of comparison between the four big end time views, Rose Publishing, they do a lot of things like that. Now, I don't know everything about Rose Publishing, but they'll do denominational comparisons. I think they're the ones who will have the Bible timeline, for instance. Speaking of Bible timelines, if you've ever wondered, hey, the history of the Roman Catholic Church, when did the Roman Catholic Church start? When did the Roman Catholic Church go off the rails? Well, we actually tried to answer that question with Nate Booznitz, a video that we posted, well, I guess for Reformation, it's about a week old now. You can go find it on the YouTube machine, where Nate kind of takes us through a history, because the claim of the Roman Catholic Church that there's an unbroken succession of popes back to Peter, it's just not a sustainable claim. You can't do it. You just can't. You can't find a pope who is the head of the church sitting in Rome. For instance, maybe somebody's come up with some sort of traditional answer, but who was Peter's successor? And who followed him and him and him and him until about the 4th century, when we start to see, well, maybe a little earlier than that, the Roman bishop. But we had other bishops, not just Roman. Now, there was a bishop in Constantinople. There was a bishop in Egypt. Alexandria had a bishop. It was a history and a series of really a vying for power until about, give or take, I think the hook that I prefer to hang this claim on would be the 5th century. Then you could start to see more of the establishment of the papal office. Furthermore, that's also when you can see the Roman Catholic Church start to adopt doctrines that aren't biblical. It didn't happen overnight. The Roman Catholic Church that we know today, or if you're more familiar with the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestant Reformation, that was not the Roman Catholic Church of the 4th, 5th centuries. That started to, it progressively changed. And if it's ever troubled you that the gospel could have been lost for 1,000 years, it wasn't. There are plenty of people who still had the gospel. It was the system that continued to veer away from biblical truth. So this is from Mike Gendron's booklet. He's got a timeline here. I think you'll find this interesting. 431, proclamation that infant baptism regenerates the soul. That was 431. Okay, that would be a moving away from grace alone, faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. 500, the Mass instituted as a reenactment of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is, of course, the doctrine of transubstantiation. This is one of the battlefields of the Protestant Reformation, that Jesus Christ would be summoned from heaven by a mere mortal sinful man to be re-sacrificed on the altar, as somehow the bread actually becomes body and the wine actually becomes blood. The Reformers found that quite blasphemous, and honestly, we should too. That started 500. Interestingly enough, did I mention I was in Oklahoma? I think maybe I did. I can't remember which one, but I think it was more at Oklahoma University. More questions about Mormons and Roman Catholics because of the number of Mormons and Roman Catholics on campus, even in, I don't know if you can call Oklahoma the Bible Belt. By the way, Jimmy, it was an undisciplined moment, but I couldn't help myself. I wasn't going to start my presentation by asking, what is Oklahoma? But I couldn't help it.
Okay.
I mean, I had my starting point. I knew what I wanted to say. That just went flying out the window because I got up to the platform and I said, I didn't want to say howdy, y'all, because I thought howdy might be kind of a Texas A&M reference and we're in Oklahoma and that could. So I just said, hey, y'all. And then that's when my brain said, goodbye script. Y'all, are you Southern? Do y'all here? Or are you a you guys? What are you anyway? So Jimmy, I was actually told, at least by the students at OSU, that it's central. It's not Southwestern. It's central United States. I'd never heard that.
I don't think I have either.
And apparently New Mexico is even a part of it, which I thought was definitely Southwestern. Yeah. And whatever it is, they've got a lot of Mormons and Catholics on the campus, and the kids kept asking questions about them, which, interestingly, hold on a second. Inside of my thingy, Majiggy Bobby here, I've got a thing on. Oh, here it is right here. I've got some million-dollar bills. This one has Brigham Young on it. The other one has Joseph Smith on it to give it to Mormons. Let's read it, shall we? Here's a million-dollar question. If you were to die right now, would you qualify for the celestial kingdom? If you're like most Mormons, you're not sure. You try hard to be as good as possible, but you still don't know if you're being good enough. If the Book of Mormon is really scripture, this hope will always elude you. Alma 11:37 says, God cannot save you in your sins. All of your sins forgiven? Moroni 10:32 says, you must be perfected in Christ, which can only be done by denying yourself of all ungodliness. Have you done that? In other words, it's laying guilt on the conscience to awaken them. And I've always personally thought that that's the best way to interact with both Mormons and Roman Catholics or any works-based system. How you doing? You going to make it? Do you have confidence? Do you have joy? Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. How are you feeling? How's that guilt? How's that shame? Do you have a big burden on your back? Would you like it rolled off, pilgrim? You can. grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. That is, I think, probably... Now, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago here on Wretched Radio, that you can interact with Mormons and you can use... See this verse here compared to that verse. In this verse, we agree it's God. Now, in that verse, it's Jesus. You know, so King of Kings would be one, for instance. That's talking about God. Now it's talking about Jesus. What do you do with that? That's cool if you want to do that, but you got to get to the conscience. You got to open up the courtroom of their mind to show them you're not meeting the standard that your own religion demands. Furthermore, if I'm not mistaken, I think Celestial City, which is the highest form of heaven, there's Telestial's the bottom one. There's a middle one in there. I think the top one is Celestial. This is driving me nuts. Jimmy, I sure hope your AI.
I'm right on now. It.
Okay. It's full. You can't even get into it. And the way to get into it is by being perfect. That should feel heavy on the conscience of the Mormon and the Roman Catholic, which is why you want to open up the law to witness to Mormons and Roman Catholics, about whom we will learn more courtesy of my memory book, man, on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, got it without Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. I remembered it, Jimmy. Now, you haven't attested to this. You have not told me, courtesy of AI, the three levels of Mormon heaven, correct?
Correct.
All right, so on top you got celestial, telestial, and then terrestrial is on the bottom. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Yes, I think you did. Yeah.
Well, what did the AI machine say?
Well, I don't think it put it in order. It says
so celestial is the top one.
Right. Terrestrial
is the bottom one because that's Terra, like Earth.
Okay. And then telestial was next.
It's kind of like in the middle. It's kind of a limbo sort of heaven, if you will. But I'm conflating my Mormonism and Catholicism.
Now, AI put two others.
Oh, wow.
They put outer darkness for the sons of perdition.
All right.
And the spirit world.
Okay. Yeah. So, but for those, I believe, who are trying, you will earn your way to one of those levels. I'm pretty sure this, ask it if the celestial level is fully booked and there's no rooms available. Okay. Because I'm pretty sure that's the case. But we digress from Roman Catholicism, which, courtesy of Mike Gendron, is giving us a timeline of the Roman Catholic Church. When did these doctrines that are not Protestant get added? Glad you asked. If you recall, 431, baptism regenerates you. 500, the Mass would be transubstantiation, the reenactment of the sacrifice of Jesus. 1,000, attendance at Mass made mandatory under the penalty of mortal sin. You know, that'll produce a joyful heart, won't it? You go to church, or you're going to hell. That is not the way that Jesus wants us to feel. Jesus wants us to be a joyful people, a people who serve him from the heart, who desire to go and hear from his word and to worship him in response. The rosary, repetitious praying with beads, invented by Peter the Hermit. And that was, I think, about 10s. So like 1080, 90 in that neighborhood. 1079, celibacy of priesthood. Decreed by Pope Gregory the V11. The monastic movement, it doesn't seem like it should be that big of a deal of a difference between Protestantism and Catholicism, but it is. Yesterday, I think we were reading Oz Guinness, Our Cultural Moment, and he rightly identified what any historian who has any sort of objectivity would affirm. And that is, it was the Protestant Reformation that just blew things up in a good way. What was it about the Protestant Reformation that caused such a just light year leaps in civilization? And one of those elements was the work ethic. One of those elements was being married, making babies, being a husband and wife. Because the Roman Catholic Church, it appears it started in about 1090, give or take, when the Pope said celibacy, that's the ideal way to live. These are the super spiritual people. These are the ones who are set apart. And if you're in Christ, you're set apart. You're called as a saint. You don't get made one because you supposedly did some miracles. No. You're made a saint. You're made a sanctified one because of the work of Jesus Christ. The Roman Catholic Church, they would say that the most sanctified way to live is away from the world. They don't understand what the world is. The world is not something from which we get parachuted out of. God doesn't beam us up out of the world and have us go live in a really dank, dark building in the middle of nowhere or embedded into a mountain someplace where we sleep on a concrete floor. That is not the way our joyful God wants us to live. He wants us to be in the world, but just not of the world. He wants us to be living in the world, but not worldly. And the Roman Catholic Church, they say, no, the most godly way you can live is through the monastic movement. Martin Luther came along, shattered that. Marriage shattered that. And, you know, here's another thing. It's 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 9:6. 6:9 or 9:6. I think it's, no, it's 9:6. It would be 9:6. Where Paul talks about Cephas being married. Wait, what? How's about when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? In order to have a mother-in-law, you need to have a wife. And it appears, we don't know definitively, but it is very possible that his wife even traveled with him, at least to some degree, on different mission trips. Now, how could the Pope be married? Well, first of all, he's not the Pope. Second of all, God created marriage, and marriage is a good thing. It's a good institution. And it is that emphasis on family and being godly in the world that really propelled Western civilization. Celibacy of priesthood, 1079. Granting of indulgences. That would just call it 1100, give or take. The granting of indulgences to reduce time in purgatory. 1215. Transubstantiation proclaimed by Pope the Innocent. Must have been some advancements on that, because if you recall originally, the Mass instituted as a it was the Mass. Okay, 500, it was the Mass. Transubstantiation, the regeneration of the body and the bread and the wine into body and blood. That's 1215. And confession of sins to priests, instituted by Pope Innocent III. What about purgatory? It was codified. It had been taught. These doctrines don't come out of the blue. It was codified in 1438. Elevated from doctrine to dogma by the Council of Florence, 1545. Tradition claimed equal in authority with the Bible by the Council of Trent. That was a part of the Counter-Reformation. They had to do that because there was no way they could use the Bible to support the doctrines that the Protestants were criticizing. And so they came up with the theory that tradition through the church and the magisterium is just as valid as scripture itself. That was in response to sola scriptura, the Protestant Reformation. 1854, Immaculate Conception of Mary, infallibility of the Pope at the Vatican Council. That would be closer to 1870. Virgin Mary proclaimed co-redeemer with Jesus. Hello. Now, claimed. I don't think that that's codified yet, but the Pope said it. Was he speaking ex cathedra from the chair? I suspect so. That's early 20th century. The Assumption of the Virgin Mary into heaven proclaimed by Pope Pius the X-1-1. In other words, it was progressive. I don't know that that's the right word. It didn't happen. It just wasn't like, oh, on that date, they went from being Orthodox to outside of Orthodoxy. No, it was a slide. And it was just ongoing. And even as that happened, there were still believers inside of the church. And isn't this interesting? If you affirm that if a religion is outside of Orthodoxy, in other words, the deity of Jesus Christ, Trinitarian theology, justification, sola scriptura, if you agree that you have to be a church that affirms those things, otherwise you are anathema, we would have to say the Roman Catholic Church does not affirm those things. And yet, look at all of the good. Now, there was a lot of really bad stuff the Roman Catholic Church did. That's why we basically have America. The Puritans, they were running away. The pilgrims, they came, but then it was the Puritans who were seeking basically asylum in a foreign land because they were getting shellacked by the Roman Catholic Church. Nevertheless, even an aberrant version of Christianity is still salty and lighty because there were still believers inside of it. They were still some godly people who loved Jesus Christ, and it still infected Western civilization and advanced it. That's the power of Christianity. Imagine if it were the right version of Christianity, how much that would impact our society, which is why we keep banging the drum here at Wretched Radio. If we want to see a different culture, we need to have a predominant cult of Christianity. It's bottom up, not top down. Jimmy, you got the Mormon stuff?
Oh, yeah. So
you thought I was going to forget, didn't you?
I did. Uh-huh. So the celestial...
My memory seems to have improved with the Prilosec, with my GERD, my silent GERD.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like I got a stalker now. You have silent GERD. Speaking of stalkers, I get to see Josh Williamson tomorrow night. Josh Williamson, he's the open air preacher who starts off with the stalker story. If you were wondering if there was any segue there whatsoever.
I stole that from him.
I've used it before. In fact, I even put it in my new book. I asked him for permission. Can I steal this from you? It's an awesome, everybody has a stalker. Death. Get to see him tomorrow night. All right, what's the Mormon update?
So the Celestial Kingdom isn't full. There are levels to it. There are three different levels to it.
I see.
Yeah.
So there's still a shot.
There's still a shot, yeah.
Is the highest level filled?
No. None of them are filled. You're just trying to get to that highest level.
See, now I had heard, try as you might, those doors are locked. That hotel has a no vacancy sign in front of it. But maybe they've changed that too, because after all, the Mormon Church has changed its opinion about a few things, like, say, skin color. Thanks for going down memory lane, man. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.